Today
is Father's Day. You know what that means, right, fathers?
That means, unless we buy it ourselves, we ain't getting nothing. Oh, we'll get a card. We'll get simple things like, Happy Father's Day, as they're walking by. That's what happened to me this morning. They started wishing me Happy Father's Day yesterday. I said, why are you doing that? And this was the answer I got. Are you ready? So we don't forget. Am I that forgetful? Am I that force that is that forgetful? A comedian once said, on Mother's Day, you take a board and you put some dirt on it and a flower and you walk into your mom, and mom's in the kitchen with her apron on, because moms always have their aprons on when they're in the kitchen, and she's in there cooking, and you walk in and you say, Happy Mother's Day, and you hand it over there, and mom's like, oh, she takes her apron and she wipes all, it's so beautiful and it's so wonderful and everything. And then you go up to your father and you say, Dad, can I have a nickel? That's okay, Dad. I can make do anyway. Fathers get short change. Irma Bombeck says, I received a letter from a single mother who had raised a son and who was about to become a dad. And since he had no recollection of his own father, her question was to me, what do I tell him a father does? When my dad died in the ninth year, Irma says, I too was raised by my mother, giving raise to the same question. What do fathers do? As far as I could observe, they brought the car around when it rained so everyone else could stay dry. That is my job. And men, you can go like that. You just wait right here, honey. I'm going to walk out into the rain that is surely going to lift up an arc. And I'll bring the car to you, because I don't want the raindrops to ever touch your delicate frame. And if you think I'm lying, ask my wife if I've ever said that. Her answer is always the same. Ready? Get! She says they always took the family pictures, which is why they were never in them. They carved turkeys on Thanksgiving, kept the car gassed up, weren't afraid to go into the basement, mowed the lawn, tightened the clothesline to keep it from sagging. It wasn't until my husband and I had children that I was able to observe firsthand what a father contributed to a child's life. What did he do to deserve children's respect? He rarely fed them, did anything about their sagging diapers, wiped their noses or fannies, played ball, or bonded with them under the hood of cars. That last line is not quite true in our household. What did he do? She writes, he threw them higher than his head until they were weak from laughter. He cast a deciding vote on the puppy debate. He listened more than he talked. He let them make mistakes. He allowed them to fall from their first two-wheeler without having a heart attack. He read a newspaper while they were trying to parallel park the car for the first time in preparation for their driving test. If I had to tell someone's son what a father really does that is important, it would be that he shows up for the job in good times and bad times. He's a man who is constantly being observed by his children. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. He won't laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible they might seem. He will dig out at 1 a.m., when his children run out of gas, stop. No, he won't. Well, actually, he will, because his wife will be like, get out! He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them. When he is wrong and makes a mistake, he will admit it. He sets the tone for the family on how they treat one another, members of the opposite sex, and people who are different from what they are. By example, he can instill a desire to give something back to the community when its needs are greater than theirs. But mostly, A good father involves himself in kids' lives. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is for him to walk out. A father has the potential for a powerful force in a child's life. Grab it, and maybe you'll get a greeting card for your efforts. Most likely not, but it's steady work. Being a father is the hardest relationship. Everybody always says being married's hard. No, it ain't. I just do whatever she says most of the time. Simple enough. I remind her every now and then. Every now and then I remind her that I am the boss in this house. I run this ship. And when I speak, you will listen. When I walk through that door, my supper better be on that stove. And things better be neat and ready when I get home. She ain't never in the shop when I say that. But you understand, you have a different relationship when you're a father with your children. You have to learn how to act differently. You have to become something that you're not. Perfect. There are two young couples in this church right now that ain't married. Hunter and Jessica and Sabrina and what?
Craig.
Are you gonna marry her? Are you gonna marry her? I couldn't help myself. Hunter and Jessica are going to get married. I'm going to talk to you all right now. You're not just going to become a husband, but one day, and I know how it works, because I've seen how mothers of their sons are, they want them grandchildren. You know why? Because you, as a father, messed up, and they want another chance. But you will change your dynamic. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the biological father or not. Pap-Pap has been my dad for 25 or better years to this day. I mean, I love my father. I have my father. But I have the men in my life that have shaped me, that have seen fit to take me through. And after becoming a father, I realized that this is the hardest relationship you will ever have. Because at some point, take your hands off and you let them roll out. You get married, it's till death do you part. That's a statement that I am going to take out of wedding vows when I start doing them. Because I think women take it as a challenge. But when you are a father, you're there for a limited period of time. You're always there. But at some point, that child, that son, that daughter is going to grow up and strike out on their own. Around our house, I make a lot of jokes. On February 22nd, 21? February 22nd, well, I know the date, but I'm trying to do the math in my head. My boys, my twin sons, will turn 18 on February 22nd, 2021. And it's time for them to get out. And I tell them all the time, when you are 18, it is my house again. I get to do things my way. My house. You're out. Don't come back. Except to Christmas to bring me stuff. And my birthday, which, by the way, is right around the corner. It's a big corner. The truth of the matter is, I live in that day. I live in fear every day that they'll leave, when they leave. I want them to leave. But they're my kids. The hardest part of that relationship is when you have to step back and let them be what they're going to be. You know, every Father's Day, I always try to think of some stuff from the Bible, some story. You know, a lot of people land on Luke 15, which I used last week for Toddy. But a lot of people land on Luke 15 because it's the prodigal son. And man, you know, the boy leaves. He sins. He comes back and dad forgives him. A lot of people do that. Or they may look at Elijah. Or they may look at any other thing. And I was struggling over what a Father's Day scripture was to back up the hardest relationship. And I'm thumbing around and I'm fretting because I've got this sermon that doesn't make sense without the keystone. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Our scripture today, I love John 3:16. Everybody knows that. That's the one everybody knows. Old Chuckles Cunningham used to sit back there where Israel is. That was his scripture. He would recite that thing to me all the time. Sometimes he had it a little backwards, but I never cared. I loved hearing him do it. And he would roll that out. But you see, this whole scripture gets missed sometimes if you don't look at the front story with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who is intelligent. Nicodemus, who is a ruler. Nicodemus, who is great. Nicodemus, who has been given by God this magical gift to be smart, takes a look at Jesus Christ, who is younger than him, and calls him rabbi, teacher, father. I don't understand this. My dad is one of the best mechanics I've ever been around in my life. My grandfather was it. He was the mechanic. When we sit around our house, everything goes back to Paul Nelson Leatherman Sr. He was the man. He got a hold, and I've told this story, he got a hold of a Dykes motor manual in 1920, and he learned how to do everything out of this book that is that thick. I have that book held together with copper wire. I now have a small collection of Dykes motor manuals. One day, we were driving when I had my license at 15 years old, and the car we were driving started to act up. 1963, Pontiac Star Chief Executive, four-door. That thing was 75 feet long from stem to stern. When you hit the horn, I'm telling you, people, when we'd pull up to somewhere along the street, people would try to put bananas in the trunk because they thought we were going on a cruise. You understand, when I was sitting behind the steering wheel of this thing, I would look over at my father. I know he's in this car, but where does the end of this front seat go? And when I finally got my license in that car, I found that a big bench seat was a fun thing because a steering wheel that big and a car that big had a lot of weight. And if she was sitting too far away, just a quick tap and a turn on that wheel, and she was right across that seat. I got my license in that thing, and it was huge. But one day we were driving it, and it started acting up. And my dad said, pull over. And we pulled over, and we got underneath the car. And we took notice that the transmission was making a noise. And my father was, I don't know, 40-some years old at that time. And we went home, and we went in the telephone room. For those children here, before there were cell phones, you had a telephone room. That's where the telephone was. And we went to the telephone room where my father called my grandfather to talk to him about the transmission. Because my grandfather, when he worked for Ren Kirby Pontiac down in Frederick, was known in Frederick County as the transmission man. And I listened to that conversation. And we tore that transmission out, and my grandfather came there and walked my father through rebuilding that transmission with me sitting in the back. Those two hardly ever got along. They loved each other dearly, but they were so much alike. They had heads of poured concrete. Unlike me, who is pliable and understanding, I am pretty much the same person. And Jesus Christ right now is talking to Nicodemus. It has become this father-son relationship, and it's become hard because Nicodemus cannot grasp the situation, and Jesus wants to yell at him. And he can't. Haven't I told you? For God so loved the world That's the relationship that smacks of being the hardest. Because our Father sent His Son to save us. Jesus Christ walks through this scripture detailing His own death, while all His Father can do is watch. If you think for a moment that Father's out there, because we are the way we are, and we groan and we grumble and we look away and we don't do everything we're supposed to. I got fussed at the other day because I'm not letting the boys drive enough because they're learning how to drive. Well, I like to drive too. Sometimes I need to get where I'm going. I got fussed at. It is the hardest relationship. And I fall into this trap on Father's Day because I am a man. And I believe in the red-blooded American male. I believe the red-blooded American male should do several things. One, eat red meat. Eat stuff cooked in lard. Biscuits are the only way to calm the savage beast. There ain't nothing like a warm plate of biscuits. Men say amen. Amen. I didn't hear a whole nother man say amen. I must be preaching to all women. I'm going to try it again. Man, if you love warm biscuits, say amen.
Amen.
I'm still not very sure of any of you guys. Women! Are warm biscuits a way to a man's heart?
Amen.
I love all of you all. Let's just flip this back over to Mother's Day. I believe in the American male. I believe in being a man. And I believe it is the man who puts everything together. And I get into this trap at Father's Day because I forget about the other half of that equation. The daughter. Holy great good grief. Being a father of a boy is hard. But being a father of a daughter, oh my goodness gracious. Now let me explain this to you. I don't have any daughters yet. I'm going to have daughters-in-law one day. Oh boy, I can't wait. Because I am going to torment those boys. But I have something that you don't have. I get to do weddings. And I love, let me tell you what, girls. I love doing weddings. I love every part of it. I love being asked to do the wedding. I love being a part of the rehearsal dinner. I love seeing how the church is decorated. I love watching the women run around trying to get their hair ready. I love watching the men poking each other because they're all scared to death. I love every single thing about a wedding. And I love that I get to perform it. Because of one part. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to join this couple in holy matrimony, blah, 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 until we get to that part. I'm just holding this because I've done it so many times. Doubly blessed is the family with which this bride is brought to the altar. Who has the honor of giving away this woman to be married to this man? Stop right there. I have seen grown men. I did a biker wedding. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. I did a biker wedding. These old boys had tattoos up and down. They wore leather vests to the rehearsal. One of them had a knife that he wore on his side. I thought it was Crocodile Dundee. They rode Harleys to the wedding. They had long hair and long beards. One of them had teeth missing all around the front. And it was wild. These were big men. And the girl that was getting married, she was a dream. And her father was a big man. My kind of guy. We talked bikes and old cars and smoking meat. We had a great time. And I told him, I said, now look it. Are you going to be the one who gives her away? And my man's chest stuck out on his front end. And he said, yes, I will be. That is my only daughter. I had all boys, and I don't like any of them. And they were all sitting right there. He said, I'm going to be the one who gives her away. I said, well, now you know you're not going to be able to. He goes, don't you worry about me. All right, here we go. Doubly blessed. And I got to that point, and he's right there with her, and she's got the veil down. They are doing it old time, where he's going to lift the veil and give her away, and he's there locked in her arm. And I said, who has the honor of giving this woman to be wed to this man? And my man looked at me and went, and the woman said, we do. And he lifted the veil and he went over and he sat down. And I saw him when we were at the meal. And he said, I know what's about to come out of your mouth. You can shut up now. I said, amen. I don't have no daughters. I don't have to worry about that part. But I do watch what it means when a man is in love with his family and a man has realized that the hardest relationship and a man and a daughter, that is a treasure from God that cannot be ever have a measure put on. And little girls run around when their time comes to marry their, say it, father. You can say it all you want. I ain't marrying. My dad's a this and that and this and that. Who'd you marry? Go ahead, say it. I dare you. You married your daddy. Didn't you?
I did.
You did. She can't even say it. She knows she did. Because her hard-headed father, we are one and the same. Do you know why? Because she knows, that woman knows, that that man that she has decided to marry, that she will bear children unto, or be a part of that family, or have children in the life, whatever form it takes, she knows that that man realizes the value of that relationship and understands, if he's godly, how hard it is, and he must do it. And this is our one day of year to be remembered for it. And that's all right. Because we don't need the things. We don't need the knowledge of it. I got asked by a girl this week, 26 years old. She goes, you're very manly. Well, yes I am. She goes, what should I do for my dad on Father's Day? She goes, what do you want? I said, I'm going to tell you right now how easy it is to get what I want. Two words. What are they, Wally? Texas Roadhouse. That's it. And be left alone. She said, what? I said, I'm serious, man. When I go to the shop to get my private time, because my wife is sick of my sight, why don't you go do something? Go out in the yard. When her key words for me to get out of the house are, the grass is getting tall. Well, tomorrow don't run. Well, go fix it. Or there's something wrong with the pool. Or what are you working on now? Or when are you going to fix that part on the truck? Those are her code words for get out of the house. And I know them because we've been married for 18 years. Right? Right. Next month. Got it. I'm with you. And inevitably, when I go out somewhere to get away from everybody because everybody's sick of daddy, within 5 minutes, first one child will appear, then another child, and then my wife going, what are you doing? Holy cow! But that is what God has given us in that relationship. And we don't need to be thanked for it. Our thanks come from seeing our children grow. Seeing them become close to what we want. The psalmist writes these words. Children are a heritage from the Lord. I'm sorry. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who were estranged. They had fell out over something and the son ran away. He took off. He didn't want to be there anymore. And the father's heart finally broke and he began to search for his son. And days turns into weeks and weeks turns into months and months turns into years. And after 2 years, he finally figured out the only way he could find him was to put an ad in the paper. An ad in the Spanish paper said, "Son, your home is open. I'm sorry. Dear Paco, please come home. Your father forgives you. Be in the town square at 12 p.m. on Saturday. I will be there for you." And 200 Pacos showed up on that Saturday, all seeking the same thing. To be saved. Dads, I'm sorry. We have a job that I'm not always sure we would have chosen if we'd have known now. And the truth of the matter is, we will never ever live up to our children's expectations. We will always want more from them while knowing. Well, how about what Paul Harvey says? What are fathers made of? A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without anesthetic. A father is a thing that growls when it feels good and laughs very loud when it is scared half to death. A father never feels entirely worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks. Never quite the man his son believes him to be. And this worries him. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own that will follow him. A father is a thing that gets very, very angry when school grades aren't as good as he thinks they should be, and he scolds the son and the daughter, even though he knows it's really, truly the teacher's fault. Fathers are what give daughters away. Now listen. Oh, I wish James was here. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough, Hunter, so they can have grandchildren that are smarter than anybody's. Fathers make bets with insurance companies about who'll live the longest, though they know the odds. They keep on betting because one day they will lose. I don't know where fathers go when they die, but I've got a good idea that after that rest in heaven, wherever it is, he won't be happy unless there's work to do. He won't just sit on a cloud and wait for the girl he's loved and the children she bore. He'll be busy there too, repairing the streets, repairing the stairs, oiling the gates, and smoothing the way. The hardest relationship. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Our Father, we stand before You today, Your children, blessed to be here. And we know that You are not always happy with us. We know, Father, that at times we test Your mettle to the point of breaking. But we have learned one thing because of what You gave us with Jesus Christ. You gave us forever salvation by allowing Your Son to take over our sin. You are the model of the hardest relationship. And we love you, Father. We ask that you continue us on our journey. For the men gathered here today that will touch lives, I ask you, Father, to walk closely with them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.